Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're in the Quicken Loan Studios in New York on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Pharrell with Carver High and Mafia, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans. Apply simply. Understand fully. Mortgage confidently. PharrellOnTheBench.com is where you go for picks. Saturday, you've got, believe it or not, there's two college football games on Friday as well. Saturday, I'm all about Houston, Notre Dame. Sunday, Pittsburgh and Jacksonville. Philly, New Orleans. Sunday night, Minnesota, Chicago. PharrellOnTheBench.com has it all. NBA, college rack, NHL every day, every fight, MMA, boxing, daily fantasy rosters. It's all there. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. And don't forget to get my sports betting podcast, Pharrell on the Bets, every day, Tuesday through Sunday. Tomorrow, episode 70 of Pharrell on the Bets. Subscribe free and follow us at On the Bets WWO. It's my half-hour sports betting podcast on Westwood One Podcast, iTunes, Google Play, and wherever good podcasts are available. Check it out, Pharrell on the Bets. So the other thing I didn't mention about, just so you know, is that we're going back to Vegas as well for the Super Bowl and the gigantic Super Bowl bash at the downtown Las Vegas Event Center with our good friends at the D Casino downtown and William Hill. This is going to be an enormous bash again, Carver High.
There's nothing like it. Last year it was tremendous. You saw me streaking down Fremont after the Eagles beat the Patriots.
Streaking.
Running to the William Hill book after.
They owed you a lot of money. Great day of
whole
money.
Week. Unbelievable.
You made a lot of money.
Yes. Made so much they wouldn't let me take it all home.
That's crazy.
I leave some in my mobile account.
So, yeah, that was crazy. You won a lot of money, not only betting on football, but on everything else. Hockey.
Right. Hockey. Good week with hockey, too.
Good week with hockey. And then good week with the free bet blackjack.
Had a good week with that as well. That's why I would, you know, it's nervous when you go back. You think you're going to
have a bad week.
You're going to give it back to them. You know, you're always going to make back.
But didn't you go back for a bachelor
party? I was
there
in August for, you know, about 48 hours.
Short window.
Yeah. Did more partying than gambling. So I haven't really gotten the chance to give it back yet.
So that was kind of a drink festival, 48 hours?
Pretty much. And then, I gambled a little, but not as much as I normally
And do. Then did you go to that wedding as well?
I did go to that wedding.
And the wedding was when? Like later in the fall?
September.
Is that guy still working?
Yes.
There you go. So I'm watching the Clippers. They lead 71-67 over the Spurs. Pretty good game at Staples tonight between those two. And I'm watching the Leafs and Sharks. I think the last time I checked, it was 3-3. I don't know if that has maintained status quo there. But it looked like it was a good game. Did you see the Houston star defensive tackle Ed Oliver tonight going at it with his head coach?
What was that about?
Major Applewhite, the young head coach at Houston. Apparently, we all know he's been out with a knee injury, right? But apparently, he was wearing, the coach told him to remove his lineman's jacket off of his, I guess he did it for him, on the sideline before halftime, removed the lineman's jacket off of his shoulder. Oliver then began shouting at Applewhite as the teams walked toward the locker room at halftime. And then the reporter said that Applewhite confirmed the dispute was about Oliver wearing a long black jacket on the sideline. Applewhite told Oliver, who was in street clothes and inactive, that the jackets were reserved for active players only. Meanwhile, he's their best player. He's going in the NFL draft in the top 5 picks, allegedly. Maybe top 10 at worst. Oliver had to be restrained by several people, including the SID, Rod Grace, while he was shouting at Applewhite on the way to the tunnel. the junior did not come back on the field for the second half at all. He was even tweeting in the wherever he was, locker room or wherever, after he never came back on the field.
He really gave him the business here. I'm watching the video now.
After the game, Applewhite downplayed the issue. We just talked to him about how to respond to things, respond the way our teammates did tonight. A lot of things happened, but they continue to fight, move on. If that's the worst thing that happens, we're going to be all right. We're all young. I don't blame him. I've made plenty of mistakes in my life, and we all need second chances, and Ed'll do great. He'll be fine. You know, that's not what Ed thinks.
Do you think that maybe now I'm not, you know, tapped in with Houston football. It says here that he's missed it. This is the fourth straight game that he's missed with a knee injury.
Several.
Do you feel that maybe coach is starting to think, you know,
he could be playing.
He's healthy enough to be playing, and it's possible that a guy who is projected to possibly go in the top five of the NFL draft isn't coming back as fast as
there's a lot of people. Like he had a cryptic tweet about that he had apparently, I gave all I had, so there's nothing to lose. That was a tweet that he put out, and people read into it that he was done playing at Houston, that he wasn't going to play anymore. He was just going to get ready for the draft. So here he is telling him to take off the jacket, and then, like, you know, that's kind of, I don't know, I find it petty that the coach cares what he wears. And then it really got heated. It really got heated with this guy. It took his several people to control him. It took several people to control Oliver and shut him up against his head coach. I got to tell you, just from what I saw, it's embarrassing. That's just an immature kid out of control. You know, you can't, like, in front of everyone, too, on national television, and you're on in your home stadium, and you're acting, you're showing up the coach, and you're challenging the coach. You're going to beat the crap out of the head coach of the football team. You know, if I'm him, he's finished. He wouldn't play again for me. Just
you want to get ready for the draft? Go get ready for the draft.
Just go play in the NFL. You're done here. You're done here. You don't talk to me that way. You're finished.
I do that, too.
Get rid of him. I don't care who he is. You know, the guy's allegedly famous or something. I've never heard of him until like a month ago.
This is a lot deeper than wearing a jacket on the sideline. There's a lot more going on here than just
yeah, because he's not playing.
Wearing a jacket.
That's because he's not playing.
Right.
He's like, you're not going to play, but you're going to come out here and wear the jacket? No, you're not. Like, it's about him not playing.
You don't want to play? You're going to freeze like everybody else. There you go.
There you go. I think that's where the Toronto leads now 4-3 on San Jose. Anyway, I think you're right. I think there's a lot more to it. But you can't show up your coach, right, in my opinion, on national television. And literally everybody saw it, right? I just saw the kid. He was freaking out, right? It took like several people to control him because the kid wanted to beat the crap out of Applewhite, and he's twice as big as him. I mean, literally, the kid's huge. He's NFL ready. All-American defensive tackle Ed Oliver having a bad night tonight at the Houston win over Tulane. They won big 48-17. Was there other activity? There were three games tonight, Carver High, in college football of significance. To very few people in terms of the significance of it. I just wanted to say, I looked at you got the Houston win. Now, how about this? North Texas is up 10 on Florida Atlantic in the third. That one's on CBS Sports Network. There's actually a college football game going on right now. And Toledo spanked Kent State 56-34. And that Houston win, the Cougars are now 8-3 and 5-2 in the American. They've been pretty good. We talked earlier tonight to Tony Pike, the former Cincinnati quarterback who does Bearcat football now on the broadcast, and he was talking about how good Houston's become. And several teams in that conference have had winning records and good seasons. So I told you those numbers before when I went through it, right? Like I went down the list. UCF's 9-0, 6-0 in conference. Temple 6-4, 5-1 in conference. Cincinnati 5-1. Conference 9-1 overall. South Florida's 7-3 overall. Houston's 8-3 overall and 5-2. They lead the western side of that conference. SMU's 4-2 and Tulane now 4-3. So Houston's on their way to. I don't know. Does the American have a championship game? So it would be Houston against UCF right now, unless Cincinnati beats UCF on Saturday in Orlando. in the primetime game on ABC, and they're having game day there. Do you think Cincinnati can beat UCF this Saturday night? They got a shot.
I do believe that they can.
That they have a shot.
What's the line on that game?
7.5. That's amazing.
Yeah, I could lean Bearcat there.
Yeah, I am leaning that way, but I think UCF finds a way.
Primetime game down in Orlando.
Primetime. They always find a way, that night team, Central Florida, the Golden Knights. Do they not always find a way? What are they going? What have they won, 22 straight games? It's amazing. And literally 22 straight games, and they get absolutely no respect whatsoever by anyone, ever. Is that not amazing to you at all in the least? Brian in Jacksonville, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, based on your interview, I'm curious what your take is on the defensive ability of the current top contenders in the NFL. What I'm saying is there's so much focus on the offense and the fact that everybody's scoring a lot of points. Which of the contenders, let's say the five or six contenders, which one or two do you think has the best defense? And with Bosa coming back, you know, how important will defense be going down into this year's playoff?
Well, I think it's obviously hugely crucial down the stretch and in the postseason. I think, you know, you've all heard millions of times defense wins championship. I think those days are kind of gone now. It's become such a quarterback league and such an offensive league. It's about scoring points. But I still think it's going to be crucial because playoff games are determined in the trenches and defensively who makes stops. You got to stop somebody. And I think, you know, if I were to guess, it's weird because I think the Chiefs defense is kind of average, if you ask me. I don't think they're that good, to be honest with you. I think the Chargers defense is a lot better than the Chiefs. And we pointed that out lately in the six-game streak. They went from allowing 30 points a game to 15. So they've gotten better defensively. I think the Steelers are below them as well. They've allowed a lot of points. And I think the Patriots' defense is terrible, to be honest with you. Everyone will say I'm crazy, but, I mean, they've literally allowed, I mean, literally of all the first-place teams in the AFC, they're the worst. Kansas City's 4 points worse. That's amazing to me that those two teams, they are so good offensively that their defenses suck and they still are in first place and winning, right? So I think that's a problem. If I were to look at defenses right now, I'd say the best defense that I've seen in the NFL this year is probably the Bears, right? I mean, they've allowed 175 points. No one really... Dallas is actually allowed less, but, you know, they're not in first place. So of all the teams that are in first place that have a shot, even the Saints allow a lot of points. They don't care, it would appear to me, about stopping anybody. They just score more than everybody, right? They just keep scoring. And I think that a lot of teams, you know, base their style on scoring. Like the Redskins have scored one more point than their defense has allowed. I mean, they're not even that good offensively scoring. So I do think it'll make a difference in the end. The Rams allow a lot of points. I don't think their defense is that good. Everybody brags about how great their defense is. I don't think it's that great. I think Aaron Donald's great. But I'm not sure the rest of them are as great as everybody thinks they are. You know, I mean.
Right now, the top five defenses in the NFL, if you go by yards allowed
right,
per game,
is who?
Three of them aren't wouldn't be in the playoffs right now. Two of them aren't even close. The number one team in terms of yards per game
the
allowed,
Ravens,
the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, really?
302 yards a game they allow on D. The Ravens are second. Jaguars are third, and then the Bears are fourth, followed by the Vikings. Bears and Vikings, you think? Going to be playoff teams.
All right, so wait, give me the list of who's the best defenses again.
If you go by total yards a game, the Bills are number one.
Right.
Ravens two.
Right.
Jaguars three.
Right.
Bears four. Vikings five.
Yeah, I would say, yeah. And then you get into, I like the Vikings defense.
Then you get into Tennessee, Dallas, Pittsburgh, Houston, you know, in the top
second
10.
Tier.
But there's teams that are going to be in the playoffs that are in the bottom five. Kansas City, 29th right now in total defense.
Yeah, like I said, I think their defense sucks.
The Rams right now are 13th in total D. The Saints,
again, I think their defense
Saints
sucks.
Saints are 24th.
I think their defense sucks.
The Bengals, who we talked about a lot this week in terms of who could maybe be that sixth seed in the AFC,
right.
Last, 32nd. They allow 454 yards per game.
Jesus. I mean, that's crazy. 855-212-4227. Call the show.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227. I wanted to tell you, we do a podcast of this show, Pharrell on the Bench. It comes out after every show on Twitter, at Scott Pharrell, at On the Bench CBS. And we put it out the next day as well, same spots. And on CBSSportsRadio.com, our network website, which I know for a fact millions of you spend tons of time on. And then we put it on Facebook.com/Pharrell on the Bench. I also put videos up there even of the Pharrell Ballers, like our 34-point loss last night. Very exciting footage of us getting our asses beat, where the team, as Mafia will tell you, was down 12-0 and virtually quit at that point, except for Mafia.
Not virtually. They absolutely quit.
So, I mean, they literally just quit playing, right? Is that not what happened?
They just went through the motions.
I didn't feel like I did, or you.
No, we did not. We actually had some pride.
I mean, you and I played to the bitter end, didn't we? Wasn't I?
I was sprinting the whole way.
You and I were running up and down the court, and I was bleeding to death. Was I not bleeding to death?
You were.
I got to tell you, I hate that ref. I mean, like, you have no idea.
You hate all the refs.
I mean, I hate that ref more than that's number one now. Like, honestly,
moved up the hit list.
With the revenge calls, like, are you kidding me? Who does that? You're so unprofessional, if you ask me, if you just don't make calls because you don't like somebody. I mean, honestly, someone gets their face smashed in, they're bleeding, I'm gushing blood, and there's no foul. I mean, explain it to me. Everybody saw the guy hack my face.
Unexplainable.
The other ref even said it was a foul. I was like, I go, Joe, how can this be? I go, look at me, I'm gushing blood.
So you even got that treatment, like sometimes, you know, the NBA or the NFL will send you out, you know, send the organization a day or two later.
Reports.
That little note, we're sorry we missed that call. You even got one of those last night?
No,
you got one from the ref?
I didn't get one. The other ref told me that he thought that it was a poorly handled call. The ref said it was inadvertent. Either way, whether it's inadvertent or not, either way, if someone gets clubbed in the face and they're bleeding out, I was gushing blood on the court, right? They didn't even stop the game. They just kept playing. I'm laying there on the floor bleeding, and the ref just kept playing. They didn't stop the game. Is that accurate or not?
Yes, it is, 100%.
Shut up. Like, honestly, like, I'm not even – there's no doubt in my mind that the ref – cannot stand me, which is fair enough. That's fine. But you cannot, under any circumstance, if you ask me, you have to just make the call. You could just call the game. When you have refs that come into games with an agenda, they don't like people, how can that game be called fairly? You ask me. Tell me the answer. There is no answer. You're corrupt, and you shouldn't be reffing. That's all there is to it, right? Aren't refs supposed to just be completely objective and call the game?
They are, yes.
All right. I just wanted to be sure. I still dropped 18 in the game. 9 of 11 from the floor. Not bad. Mafia had a big game, too. Nobody else did anything. Notice how we don't talk to – and no one on the team talks to each other anymore either. Have you noticed that one? Like, we've been together so long, we just don't like each other anymore. I think it's the end of the road. Do you feel that way, Mafia? It's the end of the road for the Pharrell Ballers? End of the road?
It may be, because there's some people on the team that get very petty and
– or need to have their ass beat?
Well, they'll rip everybody and say they're no good, and then that eventually there's one person on the team that you know is going to start just trashing everybody, not wanting to play with any of them anymore, and then things are going to start to fall apart.
And we obviously know who that is.
Yes, we do.
That's what I mean. He needs to have his ass beat.
Probably.
That might take two of us.
Well, he's needed that for a long time for different reasons.
Oh, he's needed to have his ass beat?
Yeah, for our other behaviors off the court.
For behaviors off the court. I'll give you that. He is nothing but trouble, which is what I like about him. Mike in Hilton Head.
Hey, Scott. How you doing, man?
What's up, brother?
Everything's good, man. I love the show, man.
Thanks, dude.
Hey, Scott, big game Monday Night Football. Do you think the Rams will beat Kansas City Chiefs, even though it's going to be a high-scoring game? I hope the Rams play a little bit of defense.
Yeah, I don't think either one of them play defense. I think it's going to be a wild football game, up and down. That's my guess. You know, take the over. I'm on the Rams. I think they'll win the game. I was on the Rams even in Mexico City. The fact that they're playing a game in Los Angeles at the Coliseum, it went from 2.5, I think, to 3.5 or something like that. It's very dangerous, but I think the Rams will beat the Chiefs by a touchdown. I do. I think they'll win the game or more. I think they'll get it done. I think that the Chiefs' defense is so average, I think that Goff and the Rams will be able to run the ball and pass the ball all night against them. That's my guess. And I do think that the Rams' defense is better than the Chiefs. I mean, because of Aaron Donald, that's the reason. You know, that's what I'd say. Their pass rush is better. But anything could happen in that game. But I am taking the Rams. Gator Duke in Fort Lauderdale. I wish I was there right now.
Yeah, it's beautiful here. It's going down in the 50s tonight.
No, it must be rough for you.
Yeah, I know. My sister called me from Edison, New Jersey. It was snowing up there.
Snowing ass.
Is it snowing where you are?
Listen, bro, it's a blizzard. We got like 10 inches of snow today, and it's not even Thanksgiving, and the roads are shut down. The city's crippled. There's no traffic jams like you can't even fathom. No one saw it coming. The weatherman was smoking bowls all day telling us it was going to be 1 inch. He was 9 inches short.
That sounds like the Max Mayfield deal when Katrina, he predicted that the Keys were okay. And it almost crippled the Keys, but it went by him, luckily enough.
Yeah.
I remember that.
I wish I was down there. As you know, I live there a lot, and I like it there better than here as well. I'm also, as Carver High likes to say, there's a lot of places you can live.
There's other places to live.
Well, you know what? You know what? You live in a great city. You got everything there. You got the arts. You got sports. You got food. I mean, you live.
I mean, honestly, like, are you listening? Listen, Gator, are you really? Are you really going to tell me we have the arts? Like, what am I, at the museum? Pharrell going to the Museum of Modern Art?
I figure you're going to Peter Luby's at least once.
Yeah, I mean, I go there. That's not, you know, that's to stuff my face, not to look at, you know, murals. I've never been to, listen, now everyone can make fun of me all they want. The only museum I've ever been to in my life that I can remember is the Smithsonian. That's it, in D.C. I do not go to museums, but that is not saying that anyone that does is a dork or anything, even though I would probably lean that way myself. I know that museums are great, and they're very informative, and there's a lot to learn there. And I was always I was busy that day. I was buying an ounce.
The last time you got excited about a museum exhibit was the bodies one. That's because you thought it was just hot chicks standing around.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't go to them, dude. Can you imagine me going to the Met, to the opera? My mom and dad, my mother was in the Chicago Symphony, and my parents used to go to the opera and to the symphony all the time. And when they were gone, I drank their booze and smoked weed.
I love it. Hey, listen, I want to get into this UCF thing. Didn't we go through this 10 years ago with Boise State? Yeah, they beat Oklahoma.
Right.
All right. It was a great win for them. But you know what? UCF, I'm tired of hearing. Let them go undefeated and let them play somebody at the end of the year. And I don't even mean playing the Gators, because the Gators are a three-loss team. Play a one-loss or two-loss team that's more powerful than the Gators. They're looking at playing the Gators. No.
I want to see them play. I want to see them play. How about this for you? They win every game. And they beat Cincinnati, and they went out, and then stick them up against Oklahoma in a bowl game, because Oklahoma will be left out of the playoff. Put them against Oklahoma. Now, remember, Army gave Oklahoma a game and lost to them in overtime. Let's see if Central Florida, with all their bragging and all their, we're better than everybody, and we should be playing for a national championship, and we were the national champs last year. Let's see them take on Kyler Murray in Oklahoma in a bowl game and see what happens to them. They will get smacked. That's all there is to it. And I think they're a really good football team that's in over their heads when they start bragging about beating teams that play at a different level than them. I like UCF a lot. But like I said, there's teams that can beat them. Believe me, you. And there's a lot of them. And they just don't play them. So I think their record is incredible. They've done a great job. And let's see if they can get by Cincinnati on Saturday night as they spend, you know, week after week bragging about how great they are. And then their whole national championship rings and banners and all that other nonsense. I mean, that really is kind of pathetic when you think about it at the end of the day. But let them have their fun. I mean, it's only college kids. Let them drink beer and think they're national champs. Who cares? If they played Alabama or Clemson, they'd get their asses shredded. That's what would happen. Trust me, you. But remember, didn't Western Michigan have a great team with what's-his-name, Fleck, and they went and didn't they do well in that bowl game? Did they lose that game? Remember when Western Michigan went into it like undefeated or something like that?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
What was that, the Orange Bowl that they played them in? Or
that was the Cotton Bowl.
Cotton Bowl. So
January 2nd, 2017.
They played, Western Michigan played Wisconsin.
They lost 24-16 in that game.
It wasn't that bad. They gave him a game.
Yeah, they fought back a little bit. Wisconsin actually jumped out 14-0 in the first quarter. And then Western Michigan gave it a little bit of push later on. But that was, of course, PJ Fleck's last game as the –
How do you think Central Florida would do against Oklahoma?
I think they'd get run out of the place.
They'd get blown out.
Now, I understand. I sound silly now because the one time that they did get a chance to play somebody good was last year, and they kicked Auburn's ass pretty much in that game, right? I mean, they had the chance last year, and they beat Auburn in that – I forget which bowl it was, but Sugar Bowl maybe, whatever the deal. So they've been put on the stage, and they had done it. But I just – I don't know. I'm not a believer. I'm just not.
Are you a believer?
No.
No, not that either. All right.
I mean, they won 34-27. It was the Peach Bowl. I'm sorry. It was the Peach Bowl last year that they beat up Auburn.
That's pretty impressive, though. That they did it and finished the deal. So you can't say they can't beat a big team.
You know, we've seen.
I didn't think Auburn was good, though.
We've seen a lot of times in those games over the last 10 to 15 years, whether it's Boise State or there was a year Utah did it, Hawaii playing in the big, you know, in a big bowl game against a big Power 5 team.
Right.
If I feel like half the time the Power 5 team either completely runs them or the other half of the time the Power 5 team, like, doesn't care. And they lose. You know, they get upset. I don't know. I guess I should be giving more credit to the little guys for who have won those games.
But we'll see. I think they got their hands full this week, let alone what they're going to do at the end of the season in their bowl game. I love how people have all these games done. Like, you know, the Notre Dame game's done against Syracuse. That's a done deal, right? And then the USC game's a done deal. And then they're going to be in the playoff. Like, I don't think any of that's a given. I think that Syracuse team is going to be absolutely eating coal between now and Saturday at Yankee Stadium. They are going to show up for that football game as sure as I'm sitting here. This is a chance of a lifetime for these kids. This is the game of their lives, right? They have a chance to beat Notre Dame and ruin their perfect season. Notre Dame's undefeated. And Syracuse is a good football team. Strangely enough, no one likes hearing it, but they are. They're good. It's that simple. They score a lot. And they have a great offense. And Dino Babers, I don't think he's long for this world at Syracuse, to be honest with you. He's got to go to the next level, doesn't he? I mean, maybe not the NFL, but I think he's going to get a bigger college football program.
I agree with you.
I also heard, did you hear these stories today about Brohm taking the Louisville job?
I did hear those stories for the past couple days.
Do you believe them?
I believe he will be the next Louisville coach.
Do you think that that's a better job? I looked at the staggering numbers of Louisville's success as opposed to Purdue's. Louisville's actually done way more in the last 10 years than Purdue has.
I believe that. I think it's hard for Purdue to win in the Big Ten. Now, every once in a while they do get a good, you know, when they beat up Ohio State this year, that's for sure.
That was a big win for them. But listen, let's be clear. Purdue has never done anything in the Big Ten ever. ever.
No, I think it's very hard.
Neither is Indiana.
I think it'd be very hard for a team in the Big Ten to crack that, you know, Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin,
Penn State,
kind of, you know, those teams. Iowa's tried a couple times. Iowa's had some good years, where they've been up there with them. And
Iowa got into that late season. They were like 12-0.
Right. So Iowa's had a couple cracks, but they're not there every single year like those teams are.
I think Iowa's got a way better football program than Purdue.
I agree with you. I think they do, absolutely. This year you're seeing Northwestern have a good year in the Big Ten, but I'm talking consistent year to year to year to year to year. It's hard for all those other teams to get into that Ohio State, Wisconsin, Penn State, Michigan.
Into that realm. Steve in Charlotte.
Hey, Pharrell, love the show.
Thanks, dude.
About the Carolina and Detroit game Sunday, I know Carolina obviously got run out of the building Thursday night, but I'm thinking the home team wins about 80% of those Thursday night games, being at a huge advantage, but disadvantage. Last night y'all mentioned you were talking about the game, and you said that you're picking Detroit, and I was just kind of.
I wasn't. I never picked Detroit. I have not picked Detroit. I think they're awful. I'm on the Panthers. That's it.
I hear you.
I'm on the
Panthers. I think it's a get right game.
Look, they're better than the Lions. That's all there is to it. So, I mean, the problem is they're playing at Ford Field, where the Lions have actually been pretty good. And what I told you last night was that I gave the numbers. The numbers are staggering, that the Panthers on the road against the spread are terrible, and the Lions are 8 of their last 10 at home against the spread covered. So the Lions, not only do they win at home, they cover. So I am worried about it, but there's no way I'm taking that Lions team, which I think is terrible, against a Panther team that I think is a wild card team at the worst.
Them getting rid of Golden Tate, I mean, what do you make of that? I mean, can you figure that one out?
I just think that was a bad move by them. They don't have – this is just me. I don't think they have any receivers or depth, and I think that they should have kept Tate. I think he's a player, and it is what it is. Didn't he go to Philly or something like that? Where did he go, to Philly, to the Eagles? He's probably – he'll do a lot better there than he – in my view, than he did. Look, Stafford, one of the problems I have with the Lions is, like, the game he got sacked 10 times, for Christ's sakes. You cannot let your superstar quarterback get sacked 10 times. Like, what the hell are they doing up front? I mean, that's a problem. But and I think Carolina's got a decent team, decent defense. I like them. I love Cam Newton. I love their receivers. I love Funchess. I love McCaffrey. I think that's a, you know, an Olsen. This is a really good football team. I'm still a fan. I don't think to me, the Steeler game, they laid an egg. That was it. I don't think it – a lot of people thought that after they lost that game that they were just pretenders and you could write them off. I think a lot of NFL teams have, you know, that bad Sunday, and that's what I thought happened at Heinz Field. I thought Roethlisberger had a perfect day, and I don't know if you knew this or not, but – In the Thursday game, Roethlisberger was a 158.3 passer rating, perfect over the Panthers. The third of his career time, Peyton Manning and Kurt Warner for the most ever in a Super Bowl era. He's on pace for more than 5,000 yards and 37 touchdowns. And Doug Marrone said the guy will destroy you if you give him time in the pocket. They're taking on Jacksonville this week. But the Panthers that day, you're dealing with a quarterback that was on fire in that game. He played a, you know, perfect game and didn't turn the ball over and had a perfect quarterback rating. And they lit it up and they scored. Every single guy was in on it. It was just a, you know, absolute blowout. And it was 52-21. The game was out of reach. And then, you know, the Panthers laid down. It was over. Once they got their ass cooked, it was over. So I don't think they're that bad. I do not believe they're pretenders at all. I actually think they're one of the best teams in the NFC. Now, grant you, there are better teams, the Rams, the Saints, fair enough, right? But I think the Panthers, if you ask me, they're still, you know, when I'm looking up and down the NFC, I'm still putting them in there. The Saints are going to get in. The Rams are going to get in. I think the Bears and Vikings are still going to battle. We'll see Sunday night, right? Sunday night, the Vikings might have something to say about this. If they can win at Soldier Field, I think they'll win the division. And the Redskins are tenuous at best at 6-3, but they do have a two-game lead, whatever it is, and that looks really good. I'm sick of hearing about the Eagles, how they're going to win the division. They have been complete chumps, and I do not put the Philadelphia Eagles at all over the 6-3 Carolina Panthers. Seattle's in it now. After they won tonight, they're in it at 5-5. Right now, they're a wild card team. Right now, they'd get in. Actually, I think Minnesota would get in at 5-3. They're 5-5, so Minnesota would get in. But look, it's Carolina's in control of their own fate. If you ask me, they're a playoff team. Carver, would you agree with that? I got 40 seconds. Do you think Carolina's a playoff team, and do you buy in, or do you think the Steelers ruined them?
No, I think Carolina's going to make the playoffs.
Mafia?
I think Carolina's going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to get the wild card out of that.
Mafia is still struggling with the fact that he had to spend 2 hours in a car with me in a snowstorm. He's rattled this evening, Carver High. Can you tell? He's just not interested.
It happens.
He admitted that it's problematic driving with me to begin with, let alone driving with me, because usually he's with me for 2 hours. Tonight he'll be with me for 3 hours.
It's throwing off my whole schedule, all the work, backing up.
Threw off everything. He gets a lot of leg, though. He doesn't seem to complain about that.
Who would?
All right. We got another hour to go. We call it the Blue Lagoon Hour. It's not really a zany radio bit, though.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.